It's working. Morning, everyone. Good to see all the faces. I just want to start off by saying I love every one of you. You special people, part of the family. When we were singing Jesus for my family, in my heart I also felt, you know, youth for family, the church family. We sing Jesus for the family. And the victory of Jesus in the family. So awesome. What a privilege. Yeah, it's always an honor from the Lord to share his heart. It's sometimes very challenging and daunting because you want to keep yourself out of it as much as possible and just hear the Lord. So, yeah, my topic this morning is what it means to surrender. And it's amazing. Yeah, Anton asked me on Monday, do you feel something to share maybe? I said, no, not really yet. And then and then as we drove back from the Macheke community, the surrender just came into my heart. And yeah, all night long and the next day, and I felt, okay, let's go with this. That's what the Lord's laying on us at the moment. And yeah, just as an opener that I received during our prayer time this morning before the service, the measure that Christ meets you, that meets us directly, the measure that Christ meets us is directly proportionate to the measure you surrender. Okay, so that's an opener. So surrender. I'm just going to go through now the meaning of surrender. There's a few meanings of surrender that I'm going to read. Is the first one is to give up control. And then the second one, to yield to a higher power. The third one is to submit. And often after realizing that resistance is no longer beneficial for you, just to submit. And then there's also a yielding your will to God's will. Trusting in God's plan, even when you don't fully understand it. The last meaning for it that I've got here is to letting go of pride, to letting go of fear and control, and to live by faith. So there's three, I call it the three S's. In our Christian walk, there's three stages in our lives that we experience. And if you're not a Christian, you're going to experience it. There's the S of salvation, the S of being stagnant. We all hit that road somewhere along our Christian walk. And then a spirit-filled life. That's the third one. So in surrendering, when we get saved, I would like to read Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. Okay, so God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us as anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So that's what happened to us. He's had this plan for us. So we are destined to be someone. He says we're going to be his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. And we are destined to do something. There's two things in that verse 10. Okay, that's what we're destined for. So in salvation, what you do is you give up control of your life, basically, because you need a savior. You know you're heading somewhere that's wrong. You come to a reality strikes at some stage in our lives. We're convicted. So you give up control of yourself. And then you yield to a higher power. And yeah, all of us need a higher power in our lives because we deteriorate. And then what happens when you get saved? In salvation, you submit under the rule and authority of Christ. So we dedicate our lives to that. So we, in many ways, when you get saved, you're letting go of your pride, and you're putting your faith in Jesus. All right? And then in Ephesians, it also says that in Ephesians 2 verse 10 to 12, I haven't got it on the board, but it ends with work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So now it's a road we start walking. Okay. So now I'm moving on to the second S, and I'm going to spend a bit of time here because I think that's what we experience the most. And we're all excited when we get saved and for a period of time, and then reality strikes again. So that's the stagnant, to become stagnant. So I want to share out of James 4, verse 6 to 12. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can I just pause there for a bit? On that important note, when we try and fight the enemy and things the enemy does in our lives, we're not always in submission. And God clearly says, submit to God. There's a pattern there. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay. So, okay, carry on to verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it by sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So I want to just go into this a bit where we hit those areas in our Christian walk where you start feeling dead or stagnant, or you know you've gone off the track a bit. You lose hope. Sometimes we start losing hope because God isn't working in us. Our faith goes down. Sometimes we backslide. And that's after we've been saved. Okay. So basically, you've yielded yourself to the enemy, to the plans of the enemy. You resisted to submit under the guidance and authority of the Lord. That happens. So I want to share, and we know the verse of the gate and the narrow path. I want to share out of Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And sometimes that's a scary thought, you know, when you talk of kingdom of God and who's getting saved, only a few are going to find it. So I want to envisage you with a road, a narrow road. He talks of it's a narrow gate. Sometimes we have to squeeze through it. And then there's a narrow road in front of us. We all know narrow roads in Zimbabwe. And some are very narrow. And once you go off them, and both sides of the road, there's ditches on the left and on the right. So in churches these days, in our lives, in Christian lives, what's happened over the years in churches, on the one side of the ditch, there's legalism that comes into the church. And on the other side is lawlessness. So we take that grace for granted. And then we think we've got free lives. We sit free. And then we tend to go to the lawlessness side. So we can now, we've got free ticket to, you know, God will forgive us again and again and again. And you can keep on sinning again and again. Okay, so that's also now the one ditch of the narrow road. And the other ditch is legalism, where it's come into churches. It's so easy for us to become legal about something. This is how you do it. That's how you do it. Lay down a few rules, and soon it's a law. But Jesus isn't in it. There's no life in it. And we've all fallen into those ditches somewhere along the line with churches. And we must be careful of that, because the Lord talks about the narrow road. And Jesus leads us on the narrow road. So, you know, when in that verse where he says, don't judge each other, sometimes we think, because I don't do certain things, because I'm not an adulterer or I don't drink, it's so easy to judge someone else that does that. But you can't keep the whole law. You know, that's why Jesus came, to free us from that. We can't judge. We're there to love. He came out of love because he saw we've got no plan. Then I want to just mention the other obstacles when we stagnate. And the one big thing is culture and traditions that prevent us, because we form a culture of Christianity that's linked to our culture. I mean, we are Afrikaans, and sometimes the Lord does an amazing thing in your culture. Like in Afrikaans culture, the Dingaan victory, when they vowed to God and God saved them. Now you start building a culture around that God is he only comes through for Afrikaans people. You know, because of that one miracle he did. And God does miracles in every nation or every culture. But then we lean towards hooking on, we bring it into our culture and it becomes our culture. He works in our culture like this. And it's not that. He tried to save you from something, but he wants to lead you to his heart. And we have to constantly surrender that culture. Surrender our ways. Our own opinions that stands in our ways. We're so opinionated these days, you know, and the rights of the world. And we must to surrender, because pride comes in. We've had such a good sermon on pride already. You know, our own right, our own pride. And you can't come to that place of surrender. You have to surrender so many things. The question is, we've always got to check, are we a healthy church? In Revelation, there were seven churches Jesus spoke to, and only two were healthy. And the five, but there's always, he points it out, and he corrects them what to do, and then there's a promise if they overcome. There's seven. Go and read it. It's so interesting. I'm not going to read all of that. I'm just going to mention a few highlights. So out of the five unhealthy churches, so basically they were stagnant. They did not surrender to what Jesus was doing. They didn't follow the Spirit. Okay, so the first one, forsaken their first love. So they were in disconnect with the love of Jesus. Okay, and then he warned them, but then there's a promise. If you overcome, you will eat from the tree of life in paradise. It will be a spiritual sustenance. And the second church, they tolerated false teachings. So how easy is that to believe a wrong doctrine? Many of us has fallen into that trap, believing a wrong doctrine. And we tolerate false teachings. It sounds nice on the itchy ears. It's what we want to hear. Okay? It's what we want to hear. It's not the truth. And we can't receive the love and the teaching. And then he says, if you overcome that, repent, turn around, seek me, then it will be like hidden manna and white stone. And that speaks of our, we'll renew our identity. Okay? He'll give us fresh bread, fresh manna to eat. The real teaching. The other church was a controlling church. Jezebel was rife. The control in the church. Men's control, man's control. Man's ideas, philosophies, cultures, traditions. It's all a control thing. We imply that into churches. And then the promise there, if we overcome that, that you'll have authority over nations.
Oh,
hey? If we are a church that overcomes and follow Jesus, we'll have authority over nations. Imagine that in our prayer time, eh? When we start praying for the nations. Hey? We'll be like a morning star. The other church was spiritually dead. The works were incomplete. They started something and it stopped. There was no spirit flowing. There was no gift flowing. And he warned them that you repent. And the promise there was they will be clothed in white. And their names would be written in the book of life. That's such a promise. And the other one was a lukewarm church that we hear often of, lukewarm, few warmers and not doing the works and not getting to the first love. If we overcome that, that's the prime position. He promises that we will sit with Christ on the throne. That is so much to think about. So how much do we surrender? The other thing that can keep us back that we don't surrender is things in our personal life. You know, not just our spiritual growth. You sometimes struggle to surrender past hurt in your lives. Bitterness, unforgiveness. It keeps you at a place where you can't experience life from Christ. And the measure you come with that, God will come. And he meets you there. The measure we surrender, bitterness, unforgiveness, your rights laid down. That's the measure God will come and meet you. But he's faithful. We just need to surrender it. And it's sometimes so hard. Another area where I skipped that, and I need to mention it. Another difficult one to surrender is authority, to submit under authority. We learned a hard lesson in our lives with the land reform program, and we learn it in our business world with what the government's regulations on taxes and any authority over you. You know, whether it's municipalities, not principalities, municipalities. Municipalities, you know, the government and the Zimra and the word is clear on that. Yeah. Submit under that and do. He's placed us here, you know, and that's the authority he's placed over this country. And even if it's unjust and not right, And we know a lot of things aren't right. Submit under that.
Yeah.
And we only got the revelation after we moved off the farm. You know, they gave us warnings, although it was unjust. And though, you know, there's many reasons. But they did give a way out that could have caused us much less trauma. They gave us time, but we resisted it. We're going to fight this thing to the end. We're going to stay there. And then you go off. Then you have to run. But he has provided through the government, even if it was unjust, there was time. Okay, go. Off. You can fight it in the courts if you want. But so many people, and we were included in that, we actually thought, no, God wanted us there. And we were misled. We believed the wrong things, you know. And it's so easy as Christians to make those mistakes. That's why we must be so close to Jesus' heart and surrounding people around you, because you know, we thought it was the right things. People around us thought, no, it's the right thing. You must sit it out. It's faith. You know, where's your faith? And but you know, afterwards we realized, and coming into a family that cared, a church family. That's why it's so important. We came into a church family that cared so much and negotiated our way through that in our lives with care and love. And then we came to the revelation. You know? You resist it. And God is taking you through a season of discipline. He's your child. He loves you, hey? We take discipline so hard, but God does it for everyone he loves, to his sons and daughters. So, yeah, and we're so easy to see discipline as judgment because we grew up in the law, but it's not. God's growing us. You must work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God's busy with us. And it's a measure to our surrender. But the good news is the third S of a spirit-filled life, spirit-filled church. Hey? There were healthy churches as well. They were spiritually rich. They had material poverty, but they were spiritually rich. They were very faithful. They under persecution. They were persecuted, but they were faithful. And that was the church Jesus wanted. And he promised them a crown of life. And there'll be no second death. That means there'll be no separation if we are faithful in that. There won't be that times of, you know, where's God? Where's God? We're not going to go through a trial of separation. We're going to go from this church to the crown of life. So that's the promise for the healthy church. The one healthy church, and the other one, they kept God's word. They were true to his word. They didn't deny his name. And their promise was that they would be a pillar in God's temple. And God's name and the New Jerusalem would be written on their church. Hey? That's awesome. And that's such a motivation for us to stay spirit-led, you know, in the church. Can we read James 4, verse 13 to 17? Now listen, you say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? And what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. And coming back to Spirit-led in our lives and in our churches, it's so easy to have these good plans. Even I got that, I got that revelation when we were on the farm actually one day. We were planning something and I read this verse and it like hit me and said, come you say today or tomorrow you go and do that. We are under the Lord's guidance and protection. He determines our ways. Who are we? You know, so having that posture of not having this good idea and this is going to work, this is how it's going to work. Is it, does God want me to do that? Are we led by the Spirit? So we must remember in our spirit-filled journey that our veil is taken away. Okay, any veil of sin, of deception, of pride, or veil of culture, it's taken away so that we can see what the Lord does, so that we can follow the lead of the Lord. We've had enough of information. We need to live a life of transformation, and that's what the Word wants. He wants us to live lives of transformation, to surrender total control to Him. Trusting in the Lord's plan, even when we don't fully understand it. And that's a big challenge. You know, the Lord's got a plan, and He says, no, go this way. And He's not always clear, because He wants a bit of faith as well, because that's what pleases Him. We don't always fully understand it. But if we live close to His heart, and we're assured of His faith and His love, and who He is as a character, then we can follow it and wait for Him. So, the other thing that happens to the surrendered heart is a restoration, fully restoration. You know, if you surrender your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your questions, you'll restore that. You'll restore relationships. First of all, he wants to restore his relationship with Him. And the invite is there in James, draw near to me. It's our responsibility first. And I'll draw close to you. That's what he says. So we first draw close to him. The question is, in Romans 8 verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So it all comes back to how much we surrender in our hearts to be led by the Spirit. Okay. So the question is, how much are you yielded to Jesus and the guidance of the Spirit? How much are you surrendered in your heart? And I'm coming back to my opening thing. The measure that Christ meets you is directly proportionate to the measure you surrender. And guys, it's not always a one-off thing. Sometimes we surrender something one time. But there's things in our lives that we have to constantly surrender. Authorities, unforgiveness, attitude, pride. It's a constant walk. It's a work of salvation. It's a process of sanctification in our lives. And that's why it's important to do that on a must be a daily basis. To be surrendered fully to God's order. And I mean, we can expand on that so in so many areas, you know, in marriages, in your children, the discipline, the honor, the respect. God gives all these guidelines. And That's always the measure of how we surrender to it, where God will meet you and deliver you from that. Yeah. So, what I've discovered this week as well, that when it's hard to submit under authority or anything, sometimes we have to surrender it. You don't always get the answer, you don't always get the release of it. You surrender it, but you know you have to submit. But you, Jesus will deal with it. He does so much for us that we don't know. He does it for us. He delivers you. And He delivers you from the wrong authority or the person. And He delivers you because you're surrendering it to the Lord. And you're submitting. Okay, Lord, that verse we said, resist, submit to God, resist the devil. So the enemy can't come and accuse and make you feel bad and guilty. You've submitted it to the Lord. And the devil is resistant and it will flee from you.
Okay.
Amen. So, yeah, I really feel that we all have areas of surrender in our lives. Whether it be small or big. I mean, with you maybe. Play some tunes. I'd like us to pray, and I've had to surrender a few things. Again, it's a good search in your heart. Because at the end of the day, Jesus wants full surrender. And it's a long walk, you know, that walk of sanctification. God promises salvation, and then He starts the process because He calls us a holy nation, chosen people. But there's a whole long process, and all those promises that He gives us, if we come to a place of surrender, surrendering to His word, to His power, to His control, to yield to His will, to trust His plans. So let's pray. And yeah, thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to surrender this time to You. And we surrender our hearts to You this morning, Lord. Father, we want to bring our lives before You. Father, we just want to honor You as our lawgiver. Lord, we don't want to go on this narrow road and fall off the sides, Lord. Off to the sides in lawlessness, legalism. Try and work it out on paper. Father, we need to stay on that narrow track and keep our eyes focused on You, Jesus. So I want to invite you in your hearts to come to a place of surrender. There's always something to surrender to the Lord. Whether it's another person, whether it's a family member, whether it's a struggle in your heart that you have, something in your heart that you're toiling with. Yeah, you're struggling with it. Just come to a place of laying it down, surrendering it to the Lord. Father, I want to surrender these people to You, Lord. The church to You, Lord. Lord, lead us by Your Spirit. Guide us by Your Spirit, Lord. Let us hear Your heart. Let us not please man, Lord. Let us follow You in truth, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Thank You, Jesus. So if you feel in your heart that there's something you need to surrender, now's the opportunity to do it and to live a life of surrender. It could be something in business. It could be another person. Just surrender it to the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are the faithful one, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just work in our hearts, Lord. You are the one and only, Lord. Just come and release. Just come and release that in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.